This is the Podcast Inc. production. Booyah!
And now, this is the moment podcasting fans listening around the world have been waiting for. Coming to you, not so live, from a listening device of your choice, it's time! Podcasting out of this corner, a mixed martial talker, holding no professional record, he stands at 6 feet 1 1/2 inches tall, weighing in at whatever he feels like, hailing out of Toronto, Ontario, Canada, presenting the sometimes angry, always funny, self-proclaimed podcasting champion of the world, Steve Fingerstyles.
So, welcome to another rendition of the podcast. I am here once again, always again, and joined by a former U.S. champ, Money in the Bank winner, and two-time TNA world champion, Ken Anderson.
What's up, man?
What's going on, my friend? Now, I got to ask you right off the bat quickly, because the intro's still fresh. How many people introduce you as Ken Anderson, then wait for you to talk and then cut you off and say Anderson again?
I don't think that's ever happened.
Really? Oh, I would figure people would try to do that on you.
Yeah, no.
I should have done it.
I've had a lot of chair shots and stuff, a lot of CTE, but so it's possible that I'm just forgetting about it.
That's true. You never know.
And I joke around about the CTE, but I'm just a forgetful person just in general. Was when I was a kid, I remember I always wanted to have like sunglasses and watches and stuff. And my parents would get it for me for Christmas. And they'd be like, you have to, keep an eye on it. This is it. We're not going to buy you another one. And within fucking 2 weeks,
gone.
But then as I got it, as I progressed in the wrestling business, I think it's interesting the way that this business works. It reminds me a lot of test taking and in the way we're trained to take tests in our schooling system.
Oh,
where, you have to commit all this stuff to memory really quickly.
Sure. And take a good point.
Take a test and then dump it. Right. That's sort of the way it is. You go into a new town. All right. You're wrestling so-and-so tonight. You got 10 minutes. Here's the finish. Here's your promo. And you got to go commit it all to memory. And then it's to the point where people will send me stuff like videos, clips, and I have no recollection of doing it. So
how was it then back in the day when you had to memorize your lines and cut promos? Was it all off the cuff or did you actually have lines you had to memorize?
Oh, it was lines. Yeah. And sometimes there were full blown writers. They were bringing in Hollywood writers.
Yeah.
When I was there. And, there was never a time where I actually sat down with a writer and came up with my own lines. It would always be, here's what you're saying. It was very specific. And you were expected to say, in hindsight, I actually wish that was one of the things that I would have fought a little harder for, to just have a little bit of creative control, because it gets to the point where as wrestlers, I think we're artists and we like to be creative. We like to put our little twist on things.
Of course.
And when somebody is telling you, just do it this way, you start to punch the clock. You just, show up, punch the clock, tell me what to do, when to be there. Okay, I'll go do it. It was like I wrestled Ric Flair on a pay-per-view and I feel like that's what I did. I just went out and punched the clock. And that's I'm fucking wrestling Ric Flair on a paper. It was just like another night at the office.
And that's so crazy. Well, I assume once you hang it all up and you call it a career and all that stuff, maybe you will look back and look at those memories as, oh, those were like, you know, precious times and stuff.
Oh, I do already.
Oh, already? Okay. That's already
weird. It's just like, you know, and it's not Rick is amazing. It's not a knock on him. It was where my head was at the time. I just didn't have that passion for. I really think you need the passion, you know. You look at what The Rock is doing right now. Like that's
there. You go.
That he found that passion once again. That passion.
As they say, my goodness. Oh, and before we get any further, happy belated birthday, my friend.
Thank you.
It was literally just yesterday as we are recording this. And it's funny because the podcast just turned 7 years old as well, literally this month. And at the time when you were like red hot in WWE, you were one of my favorite wrestlers. I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. It's just what it was. Like the stick you were doing, everything, like as The Rock said, you brought it up. Wrestling was cool back then, right? So it's funny that now I'll never forget your birthday because you share a birthday with my wife. So, like, how funny is that?
Happy birthday.
There you go.
What's your wife's name?
Jackie.
Jackie, happy birthday.
There you go.
Here's another interesting little tidbit. Mm. Jackie and I share a birthday with one Shaquille O'Neal.
Oh, I don't know if I knew that or not. Maybe she did tell me. I can't remember, but. Okay, how about this? Since, again, speaking of birthdays, you probably spent a ton of them on the road. Any memorable birthdays that you spent on the road that you could actually remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I remember the first half of the night.
Awesome.
And waking up in the hotel room the following morning. Actually, for one of my birthdays, I don't remember where we were, but me, Matt Hardy, and The Undertaker, just the three of us, went to a little dive bar, and Taker's big thing was he would go over to the bartender and he would say like, hey, can I see that bottle of Jack you got there? And they'd pull up the bottle and you go, yeah, looks good. Divvy that up into shot glasses and bring it over to the table, please. Wow. So here, you know, at least a half a bottle of Jack Daniels. And yeah, we polished that thing off. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. I think I was riding on Taker's back that night. Like I was getting a piggyback ride from him for some reason.
Wow.
And then the interesting thing was like I was married. And my ex-wife used to, whenever this would happen, I would miss my flight on the way home. You know, she'd be like, you never miss your flight going out. You're never late going to work, but you're always late coming. And it wouldn't be for any, like I wasn't out doing crazy stuff, right. You know, I was literally like just letting loose with the boys. And, so I remember my flight was supposed to be at dark 30. And I woke up and sunlight is streaming through, you know, it's noon at least. Okay. And I'm going, I just sat straight up and Matt, who was healing a room with me, he popped right out of bed. He goes, Ken, you're okay. You're okay. You're okay. You're good. I took care of everything. I stayed with you. I changed our flights. You need to call your wife. She's pissed. So I had to, and apparently, you know, the night before she tried calling and he finally answered and was like, Ken's passed out. He's, you know, he's in the bed. He's sleeping. No, he's not. I don't believe it. You're covering for him, Matt. You know,
of course.
He's like, no, he really is. And he started hitting me.
Right.
To the point where I was making noise. Mm-hmm. And she finally believed him. So, yeah, that was the funniest part of the story is that Matt set an alarm for early because he thought, well, maybe he might be able to get up, kick out, and make it to the airport on time. Sure. You never know. So he set his alarm, good brother would, for, you know, whatever time to make sure that I got up and got out the door. And he said he stood up and my bed was empty and all my stuff was gone. Ooh. And he's like, this motherfucker kicked out and
he took off.
Damn, that's high speed. So he said he went into the bathroom and I was lying prone, naked in the bathroom, in the bathtub.
Wow.
I apparently had decided to go try to take a shower and
didn't happen.
Instead, but yeah, so he had to like help me back, put my clothes on me, put me back in the bed. I cannot praise Matt enough for that's the kind of stuff that a good brother will do for another brother while they're on the road, you know.
No, that's so true. And I assume he is older than you too, right? By a bit, no?
I don't think it.
Or is it close?
I think we're very similar in age. And if not, he's a couple years older than me. Maybe 50. I'm going to look it up. How old is Matt Hardy?
Perfect. That's hilarious.
49. He's 1 year older than me.
Oh, okay. But he has been in the business or was in the business longer than you were at the time. So he was sort of like the bigger brother, right? So for him to take care of you like that, it should have been the other way around. He should have been ribbing you, like drawing stuff on your chest, right?
No, see, and that's – I had heard stories like that when I first broke into the business. I never experienced any of it. But
that's awesome.
Like, I remember one time Eddie and Chris telling me we were going on an overseas – it was going to be my first overseas tour, and they were like, you're going to get your eyebrows shaved. They're going to fuck with you somehow. Like, luckily, that didn't happen.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Well, again, speaking of legends, there was one clip that you posted – I can't remember. It was a few weeks back – of you face-to-face with Cena, that promo where he's just cutting into you. My friend, how did you not break character and just crack out? Because I could have sworn I saw like your eye twitch and you were like, either we're going to get back at him or start smirking. I don't know, man. How did you get through that whole promo?
That's one of those things where like I remember it, but I don't really. To me, those are the fun times. Like those experiences when coming up with things for your opponent to say about you is like some of the most rewarding stuff because right? Like I as a villain, I don't want to be liked. So it's always easier, especially when there's something particularly nasty that somebody can say that he had to have permission to say that kind of thing, you know? Or they have heat in real life.
Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
So, yeah, I wish, again, right there, I had that sort of chip on my shoulder, and I wish I wouldn't have taken it so lightly because there was some potential there.
No, for sure. Exactly. Because again, Cena was red hot as a face. You were red hot as a heel. Like, you know what I mean? That was like the two biggest guys going face to face. And yeah, that was, and again, the cool heel and the cool face. Like, you know what I mean? As I put a parenthesis, right?
Right. And to be fair, like I probably was that cool heel and I shouldn't have been. And I guess when I first broke into the company, Vince would tell me, I would ask him, you know, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to say? And he would say, like, just go out there and get over. Like, don't try to be a good guy or be a bad guy. Just get over. And then slowly but surely, I started getting too funny. And then Vince put the kibosh on that. And then he wanted me to get serious, especially when I worked with Taker. Taker is a different animal. They were really protective of him. And you can't do your comedy stuff with Taker. And for the longest time, it was really hard for me to wrap my head around that. You know, part of me thought all this stuff that got me here in the first place, that got me to the dance, now you're telling me not to do that. And I had a real hard time. It was very, very frustrating. Now I look back on it and, you know, I watch that stuff and I cringe at how over the top and Jim Carrey I was.
Really?
Definitely.
All that. But again, it was a different time. Like you said, you were more brash. You were younger, as they say, full of piss and vinegar, right? So it's like balls to the wall, let's go type of thing.
That was, speaking of piss and vinegar, like that was one of the things that was difficult for me because I grew up watching Attitude, you You know, like that was my Attitude Era was it. And right when I got into the company, they had just gone to Can't Swear.
Right.
So my first sit down meeting I had with John, I had a meeting with Johnny, Vince, Stephanie, and Kevin Dunn, all sitting in a little circle.
Right.
Having a powwow. And it was like day three. So I had already had 2 weeks under my belt just squashing local guys. And they were like, what do you want to, what, because they wanted to change my name. So that's where I went from Mr. Anderson to Mr. Kennedy for the first time.
Yep.
He asked me, my history, who my favorite wrestler was, which I said, Steve Austin, which at which point he nodded, approval. But then he was like, do you have any catchphrases or anything like that? And I said, nice guys finished last. Thank God I'm an asshole. And he paused for a minute and he was like, yeah, I like it, but we can't use that.
Yeah.
And, I was just so bummed out because the little bit that I had used it down in OVW, it seemed to work.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always envisioned this, they used to yell asshole at Vince, right? When he would go out there, they would asshole. And I remember thinking, there's got to be a way to spin that into a positive where they're like actually chanting asshole's the good thing,
Sure.
And, they told me no. And then I revisited it again when I won the Money in the Bank briefcase. I asked permission, which is the worst. Probably second biggest mistake. I think I told you that last time, right? Like,
and then the rest is history, as they say, right? Did you think that your run in TNA was more of your asshole gimmick? Because, again, now you could say asshole. The fans were chanting it. Do you think that was more of what you wanted to see in WWE?
It was. The minute I cut the promo, and then the next week, Vince Russo was writing for us at the time at TNA. And he put something in the promo. I was tagging with Jeff Hardy, and I said something to the effect of, Jeff Hardy has his fans. He calls them the creatures of the night. I got my fans too. I call them Anderson's assholes.
Yeah.
And at that moment, everybody in the arena started chanting, we are assholes. We are assholes. And I just remember thinking, if I had the WWE machine, marketing machine behind me at that point,
it would have been a different story, right?
Look at it now. Like somebody says one little thing, they'll say one little thing, and it's over.
Right, right. Or even one of your good friends, LA Knight, like Eli Drake. Like my God, like what he was doing in TNA back in the day. Like I saw it. Like I told everyone's like, get out of here. He's nothing. Then he won the world title there, and I'm like everyone, and I'm like, see, he's like, it's still TNA. It's nothing. And then he goes to NXT. Then people are like, oh no, they slapped a shitty gimmick on him. Then he became the whatever he was, that supermodel fucking agent or whatever. That was so stupid. Then once he went back to himself again, oh my God. Then everyone starts, I'm like, see, finally everyone gets it. Like, fuck. Again, the WWE machine, as you said it.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Yep. Sometimes you're in the right place at the right time or the wrong place at the wrong time. And you just got to kind of roll with the punches and try to make the most of. I think when people, I have this really brilliant, what I think is brilliant idea, and nobody's listening to me, I will get nothing by jumping up and down, screaming, whining, being an asshole. So there's a way that you just have to figure out how to, okay, I'm going to do what they gave me. I'm going to do what they gave me very well. And then they'll start to trust you and say, you can say a couple words on your own, and then you start slipping stuff in there. That's kind of how it needs to be done.
No, so, no doubt, of course. And talking about slipping stuff in, this is a perfect opportunity to support my sponsors. If you want to check them out, please go to firstrow.ca. They are First Row Collectibles. They got a ton of stuff from the wrestling world, signed memorabilia from all the major sporting leagues. Anything you want, they got it. Best thing is they ship worldwide. Even better, they update daily. So please visit them at firstrow.ca. If you're into video games and books, please visit bossfightbooks.com for great books on classic video games. You'll find titles like NBA Jam, Red Dead Redemption, Redemption, Resident Evil, and so many others. Everything you see on their website is available in paperback and ebook format, so please check them out at bossfightbooks.com. And if you want to support me directly, you can visit my merchandise store at tpublic.com or scroll down on today's device. It's embedded right there in that description. Click on the link, takes you right to the merchandise store. I got everything from hoodies to t-shirts, travel mugs, anything you need or want, it is there. But the easiest thing, the freest thing, the best thing to do to support the show is rate, subscribe, review on all major platforms, most specifically Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, SoundCloud, Spotify, and iHeartRadio. All right, Ken, I mentioned my sponsors are like video game based. I know you're a gamer, my friend. I had no idea prior to knowing you that you were a gamer because, again, our age group is sort of like hit and miss when it comes to gaming. Like, we were on the cusp of either you really liked it or you didn't. Now everyone loves it, obviously, right? So when did you become a gamer? What made you become a gamer? And what was like the first game you played?
Man, The earliest game I can remember, my dad had an Intellivision.
Oh, shit. This goes back. Okay, and, good.
I remember playing Pitfall, and there was a game called Snafu, which was basically like snakes. And there was another one. It was like a Dungeons & Dragons kind of thing.
Okay.
I really liked that. However, when it came to like Pitfall and stuff, I couldn't figure the controls out. I had five left thumbs. I just couldn't figure it out. And I just pushed mash buttons. So I kind of, I watched my dad play and I thought it was interesting. Then fast forward, I'm at my cousin's house and he's got this thing he called the Nintendo. Mm-hmm. And he had Mike Tyson Punch Out.
Oh.
Played that. And again, I couldn't figure out how to, he was, running through guys.
Sure.
He'd figured out that the patterns. So he's kind of running through guys and I just get my ass kicked every time. So those were my first memories I had of playing video games. And then at some point I kind of fell off of it.
Okay.
And then I got back in. I remember a couple different games that really, like, I think I was 19 years old, mm-hmm. just out of the house. I had a PlayStation.
Okay. Yeah.
Or maybe it was the Doom. Doom was on the Genesis. It was the 32X, I think. Doom came for the 32X, right? The Sega Genesis.
I believe so. If not, at least the Dreamcast, one or the other.
My roommate at the time had Castle Wolfenstein, which was the first-person shooter.
Yeah, the original.
I want to say it was the original, right?
Like, yeah.
So he had that, and I loved it. I was like, how could graphics possibly get better than right? this? This is insane. And so then when Doom came out, I was just like, oh, my God, this is crazy.
Right.
And then Tomb Raider came out, and I was like, I get to be Indiana Jones, basically. Like,
yep.
And so nowadays, when I look at video games and I look at people that don't like video games at all, mm-hmm. I don't trust them.
Really?
I can't wrap my head around why.
I like that.
We all watch movies. Some of us read books.
Yeah.
You get to actually physically immerse yourself into that world and play the characters and stuff. I don't understand. And this idea that video games are for kids is just, yeah, the target audience group, I think, is our age group, to be honest.
Well, because we're the ones that are settled, have the money, and will actually spend it, right? And plus, we have kids, so we would spend it for us and our kids.
Exactly.
So they're smart. And plus, like I said, we're the ones who sort of grew up with this technology. Like, I was having this conversation the other day. Like, I know every generation says they're the best generation, but I think Generation X is the best generation because we were stuck in the middle of the two worst generations from the boomers and the millennials. And then we got the best of like to grow up with the technology where if it gets taken away, we can still survive. But if it's there, we know how to use it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, no, I can see that. I have a feeling like there's a little rosy retrospection going on where like we all have a tendency to like remember things.
That's true too.
Very fond, like case in point, my wife downloaded an emulator. This was before, now you can get every game you can ever think of, every Nintendo game,
exactly.
every game, right? Like, she downloaded an emulator, and we went through and just Mike Tyson's Punch Out and Master Blaster and Castlevania and like
classics.
All these, and I was just like, I can't wait. And we went to this hotel, and we spent some time there, like for a weekend, and put it on. And I shit you not, we spent probably 2.5 minutes on each game.
Right.
And these are fucking terrible. And compared to what we have to play now,
it's true.
Like, you go from Fallout 3, Fallout 4,
my faves,
God of War, that kind of stuff, to Kid Icarus.
Oh, don't even. I know. I used to it is, because you know what I get always suckered into, and I fucking hate it, and they always get me when these remakes drop, and it's not like an upgrade; it's just a straight port from the original. So there's like nothing changed, and I'm like, I used to love it. I go play. I'm like, why the hell did I play this piece of shit? Like, what the hell? Right? But I remember like getting so far. Yes, and it was like so good back in. It was like. I think it was just because we didn't have options, so we were forced to play it over and over.
Some of those games, like, I don't believe that I could sit down today and have the patience to get through a full game like that. I give up. Like, Mega Man. I tried playing Mega Man recently. Sure. Like, no thank you. Like, too hard. Kid Icarus is a perfect example. It's just a ridiculously hard
that
game.
One's ridiculous just because of the whole map situation. Like, Mega Man, I'll to my own horn, that's the one series I'll crush anyone. It's still to this day, I could still pick it up and, like, clear it from start to finish. I guess, obviously, I got to use, like, the energy tanks and a bunch of continues. But I'll be able to eventually finish it probably in, like, a sitting or an afternoon, right? That was my jam bag. But speaking of the same Castlevania, right, fuck off, get out of here. I can't do, like, Castlevania. It doesn't even jump diagonal. It's so stiff. You can't. You can only whip forward. You can't even whip up. It's, get that crap out of here.
Another one of my favorites was Ghosts and Goblins.
Oh.
And that is, like,
brutal.
So hard. So, so hard. But then I remember, like, I was in high school. And I want to say it was, like, 91 or 92.
Okay.
And my friend got a Sega Genesis. So I would go over to his house every morning before school, and we would play Sega Genesis for an hour. We'd play Altered Beast, and we would beat it.
Right.
And then there was another one, the Golden Axe.
Yeah.
He had Altered Beast. And then there was like it was like Joe Montana football.
Okay.
That was just, it was fantastic. Again, one of those things that, like, it was awesome at the time, and definitely doesn't hold up.
No, but, and that's why I give all the flowers to Nintendo. Because it seems like majority of their games that they create, their first-party games, like the Marios, the Zeldas, well, maybe not Zeldas on the Nintendo, but the one on the Super Nintendo still holds up. Like, all their IPs all hold up over time, where you could actually go back and play them properly. Like, you know what I mean?
Yep. Definitely. Did you play, do you have a Wii?
Yes.
Or not a Wii, a Switch?
Yes, I do.
Have you played the Odyssey?
What Odyssey?
Odyssey, Mario Odyssey.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah.
Like, so we went through, my wife is a huge gamer too, right? So you got to get 500 moons, right?
Yeah.
Moons.
I gave up.
We collected 500 moons.
Oh, shit.
And Pierce, at the time, this was like 5 years ago, because Anastasia's got a great picture. It's a before and after. And then before picture is he just collected the 500th moon, and he's got a big smile on his face. And then the next one was, you have 500 more to capture.
What?
On the flip side. And they give you 500 more moons that you have to go and round up again. And his next was just a boo-boo face, you know?
Well, and then that's it. Because I was going to ask you that next. What type of gamer are you? Are you one of those guys that has to do all the side quests, get all the secrets, get 100%? Or are you just pure story?
I start that way. There are certain games that I do that. I start it, and I have the best intentions to keep going that way. And then at some point, I just, like,
it's too much.
Like, right now, I've been chipping away at Assassin's Creed Origins for quite a while.
Okay.
And I was just looking at the achievements today. There's no way I'm going to be able to go in there and get all those achievements. I just don't have the patience. But I've pretty much opened up everything.
Sure.
You know, it's just like, I got to go find a couple little question marks that I have to open up on the map. But there's been some really, really good games that have come out recently. Yeah. Have you played Resident Evil 4?
That's queued up and ready to go next on my list.
Stop what you're doing. Like, just
go right now.
I think that's the best game that I've played in, like, probably 5 years.
But honestly, you played the original as well, right?
I did. And this is so much better.
I'm going to lose my video game card, and I've had creators on the show and everything, and I tell myself as, you know, knowledgeable gamer, you know, I never played the original Resident Evil 4 ever.
No, you didn't? No.
Nope. I played 1, 2, 3, and then I even played like 5, 6. I never played 4 because I didn't own a GameCube, and then when it eventually came out for PlayStation, I was like, I'm over Resident Evil already. But I was obviously mistaken because it's the greatest game of all time, apparently.
Really good. Oh, I remember, I'm not mistaken, it was one of the first where you could get the little achievements, or, you know, they really didn't register as achievements, but there were little medallions that were hiding.
Yes. I know what you're talking about. Because I think they introduced that in 5 as well.
First stab at collectibles in a game.
Yeah, and there you go.
The game itself, I beat it several times when the original came out on the GameCube.
Yeah.
And my wife and I crushed it. They did it so beautifully.
Yeah.
They changed the, because recently, like in the last couple of years, they've remade the original Resident Evil 4, but they kept the exact same control scheme. It was like ridiculous where you have to like turn.
Oh my, I can't play those games anymore. Yeah, I know.
Oh, so bad. It's horrible. But now this one, they completely changed it. They added a bunch of stuff to it.
Right. Sort of like the other remakes that came before, because I love the remake of Part 2 and 3, because Part 2 was my favorite Resident Evil of all time. I just loved the whole, first off, it had two discs. That blew my mind for a single player game. And then you got to be two characters, and the stories were intertwined. So you got to see both sides. That, again, as a kid in high school, it just blows your mind.
Yeah. Right there was, you know, like we're playing a horror game. And it was.
Right, and that too.
It played like a horror movie.
It's so true, my goodness. Well, and going back to Assassin's Creed Origins, Assassin's Creed is one of my favorite IPs of all time. Like, I played pretty much all of them. My favorite one is Odyssey, which is actually the one after that you're playing. And
me too.
Oh my God, I dug maybe 160 hours into this game. I platinumed it. I got every secret. I just had to finish it, everything. And it was such a great, but again, I'm a sucker for Greek mythology. I'm a huge God of War fan as well. So anything Greek mythology, it's like hook, line, and sinker. But I just found that was, to me, without guns aside, because I'm not really like a first-person shooter type of guy or like guns. Like, I love Fallout because of the story and the atmosphere, not because of the actual first-personness, right? But I think this, in my opinion, is the best open world game that has been ever. It's like perfect in every sense, from story to the mechanics to everything.
It really is good.
It really is
a special game. And I think that the games that have come out since then, which was
Valhalla,
Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
I don't like it.
Latest one, Mirage. Same. It just kind of.
But I appreciate Mirage because they tried to go back to how it used to be, like Part 2. Like, because again, I think that whole era where it was Part 2 and Brotherhood, that was the best storyline with what's his name, Auditori or whatever, Ezio.
Ezio.
To me, that was the best assassin that they've ever had. Right. So like, he has so much character. Right. So I think they were trying to go back to those ages. But then again, it felt flat because you're so used to such a big world in Assassin's Creed. Now they dimmed it down a bit. But what are you supposed to do at this point with Assassin's Creed, right? That's the thing.
Where do you go from here? What
I don't know.
Where do you? Because
it's crazy.
Yeah, it's starting to get to the point where it's like, okay, we've seen what you guys can do there. There needs to be some sort of some upgrades or be interesting.
No, because the best thing that God of War ever did was to transition from like that 2D hack and slash to what it is, like contained open world, and where you actually have to battle properly and know what you're doing versus just mashing a button. Like, that was a great transition. I don't think they lost any fans, whereas most people do lose fans when they go from one genre to another.
Totally. Yeah.
It's so crazy.
God of War is, you know, I've got this stack of games that I started and never finished because, like, right when I'm in the middle of God of War, another game comes out, and I'm like, oh, we got to try that one, and then, you know, that one takes it. And then I'll go back to it, but I'll get to it one day, and then another game comes out, and another one, then another one. Like, just recently we've had the Suicide Squad, the Avatar game.
Oh, shit.
The Dead Space game is a fantastic remake. If you that's one of my favorite games of all time too. That's in my top five.
Me too. I've been saying for years for them to remake it, and finally, like when I first started doing the show, like whenever remakes came up, I was always like Dead Space, Dead Space, Dead Space, and they finally did it. And I'm like, oh, I can't wait. Again, that's another one that's on my list. But again, like you said, there's such a backlog. But I'm not like you. I have to finish a game. It's just my whatever it is. But if I start a game, unless I completely don't like it and I don't want to finish it, that's a different story. But if I like it at the beginning, I got to finish it. So I'm one of those type of guys. So then I start falling behind. You know what I mean? But I tried doing your method. But you know what sucks? And everyone says this. I don't know why they haven't started doing this yet. When you don't play a game for a while, you forget the controls and you don't know what you're doing. Right? You get lost. And then you don't want to finish it. So why not have like a little sub-tutorial? Because because all the machines are smart now, and notice you haven't played this game for months. Why not give you a little sub-tutorial, right?
Totally. Like a little refresher.
Yes!
Just be able to jump into. Because that happens to me all the time. It actually just recently, I wanted to go back and finish Valhalla. And I was like, I don't have the patience to like start and learn all the controls again. And so I just didn't do it. There's a couple other games that are like that where Suicide Squad just came out a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
And I've already been off it for enough time that and each character, there's like four different characters you get to choose from.
Right.
And you kind of switch back and forth, and they each have different, very different controls, in my opinion. So it's just like,
what do you do?
You know? Yeah. Or you end up using, you figure out one core
mechanic or something. Yeah.
Just, you know, try to beat it with that.
I guess that's where sports games have one up on every other type of game. Because if you know how to play one sport game, you could pick it. Like, you might take a while to, like, be good, but you'll still be able to play it, right?
I don't like sports games.
Really?
I don't know why. I really don't.
Shit.
Yeah. Even the wrestling game.
I was going to ask.
My whole life, being that I was a gamer.
Right.
You know, like, I'm going to be in a video game someday. Exactly. I can't wait to be in a video game someday. I remember when I was working the Ted Petty Invitational Tournament for Ian Rotten's IWA Mid-South.
Oh, wow.
And they made a backyard wrestling game. This was like on the original PlayStation. Do you remember that game?
Yes, I do. I remember even the photo. It shows a guy with like a 2x4 and the rings in the backyard. And yes, I remember that game. Yes.
And
shit.
Matt Cross was...
Okay.
I feel like he had a different name then. But I remember we did like a press conference for the Ted Petty Invitational Tournament, and he was talking about how he had been immortalized in this video game already. And I was like, that's so cool. He's just an indie guy that got to be in this video game. And so anyway, fast forward, I go and do all the, you know, I got to get scanned, and then I do voiceover for, because there were some pretty cool storyline options for the SmackDown versus Raws that I was a part of.
Yeah. Those were the good ones back in the day.
Yeah. And then I you know, get it home. Here we go. And I played for like 5 minutes and I was done.
Really? Is it because you're in the business or you just don't like it? Like it doesn't like, or is it just too repetitive?
And it's just like, you know, maybe this is going to sound really stupid, but like can't tell a story. You know, you don't start out. You can like lock up and powerbomb a guy right away.
I got you. Oh, I see. Yeah, see, it's because you're in it, so it's kind of hard for you to suspend the disbelief of playing a video game.
But what an asshole! Like, you know, I should be able to just—it's just a video game, you know?
Right? Oh my god! And again, like you said, being a gamer yourself, you would think you'd wear that as a badge of honor. You're like, oh, I can't even play as myself. What the fuck?
I think I played SmackDown versus Raw 2006, and a little bit of 2007, and then I haven't played any of the other ones that I was a part of. So.
Oh my God, that's too funny. Okay, well, you brought up Fallout. I'm a huge fan of the TV shows that have been coming out recently. The Last of Us, stuff like that. I can't wait to watch Fallout because, again, I'm a huge Fallout fan myself, especially Part 3. To me, I found that was the best, that whole story. Like, again, I'm like yourself. I have a horrible memory, but I remember all the characters. I remember blowing up Megaton and being, no pun intended, an asshole. Like, I was just the most piece of shit I could be in Fallout 3. And it seems like they're going to go down that storyline. Like, are you a fan of video game adaptations into TV shows and movies?
Are they making it?
It's coming out on Amazon. I think it's coming out either this spring or in the summer. It's soon.
Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, yeah, check out the trailer after we're done. Oh, you got to check out the trailer. You'll love it.
Definitely. You know, I'm trying to think of some of the latest video game adaptations we've had.
Twisted Metal with Samoa Joe. That was a good one, believe it or not.
I haven't seen it.
See, it's gotten a lot of bad reviews and people are like dogging it. But you know what? It's a fun little, again, no pun intended. It's a fun little ride, man. It's pretty decent.
And I'm bummed out that they didn't use Joe's voice for...
Me too.
You know.
And again, he's a wrestler. He could talk. What's wrong with these people?
Speaking of Samoa Joe, he's in Suicide Squad, though. I just happened to be the... What's the guy with the shark head?
The character... I know who you're talking about. The big shark. Yeah, I know who you... Yeah.
Big shark.
I'm horrible with DC characters.
I'm sitting here. My wife and I were playing last week, and I was like, okay, that voice sounds really familiar. And I looked it up, and it was Joe. So, kind of cool.
Oh my God, yeah, not kidding, right? So again, going back to DCV series, did you enjoy Last of Us? And again, I'm sure you played both games, right?
I played both games.
Okay.
I thought they were okay. Those games were, they were a little too raily for me, if you know what I mean. Like where...
Oh, okay.
They're not full open world. I mean, you know, I'm just nitpicking here. It's not Fallout where you can go anywhere and everywhere you want to. You know? Or Assassin's Creed, you can climb anything. So I guess because it wasn't like that, that was my only... But we started watching Last of Us when it first came out, and we got to about episode 3.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I don't know what it is about me lately, but I have to be in the right mood to watch something. Like, okay. It was... serious, maybe a little slow moving for my taste at that time.
Okay.
And I just haven't been able to get back on it. I've been, you know, stupid stuff or just absolute garbage television. Like my wife and I are on Love is Blind right now.
You too. So are we. We just got to the part where they got to the resort and they met each other and they're all hammered. And I'm like, oh my God. But again, I'm a sucker for, I say I hate it and my wife reels me in too. But once I'm watching, I'm like, I want to know what happens next.
It's so good.
Like, right?
It really is good. It really is entertaining. It makes you feel... Doesn't it make you feel like a good person?
It does. Like, all these people... And then my wife's like, oh, I feel so bad for them. I'm like, don't. Why do you think they're single and on these shows? Because they're horrible people.
Yeah. We were just talking about this, how... I don't know what... There's a phenomenon that they named it after the first reality show, the first reality show family ever. It was like in the 80s or something like that.
Oh, okay.
And there's a phenomenon where when you've had cameras in your face for like longer than 24 hours, like for the first, you know, for the first day, you'll be on your best behavior.
Sure.
And you will edit yourself. But at some point, your brain switches from recognizing that there's cameras around and I need to not be able to, you just come out and you're your true self. And I'm just blown away by how many people act a fool on all these reality shows, knowing that the sex stuff that they do, like just guys cheating. My grandma and my mom would be so disappointed in me. My mom was just asking me, would you be able to do one of these shows like back when you were single? And I was like, no, because I would be afraid to act a fool and embarrass you.
See, but that's the problem with, like I said, the difference in the generations now, where our generation still had that hint of shame. If you felt bad for doing something, now it's all about, look at me, I need followers. Oh, I'm this. I'm like, you know, it's just about being seen, either good or bad, because fortunately, I guess they can't really tell the difference at this point.
Yeah, and it's, I hear you. But at the same time, it's like we have to figure out how to embrace that a little.
I know. It's true, though.
You know, because I have that part of me, too, that shouldn't be doing this. I shouldn't be. I hate social media, and I love it. Like, I love the fact that we're able to be connected.
Right.
Like, so many of us are able to be connected at the touch of a button, you know? So we can share ideas and art and all this stuff. But it is a little bit like every time I post something, I'm like, I feel like I'm bragging. You know, whatever it is. Like,
look you at too. What I'm oh, doing. My God. It's like we're cut from the same cloth. I'm the exact same way. Like, people always tell me, they're like, oh, you know, yeah, the podcast doesn't have that many followers. I'm like, my followers on social media has no inclination of how many listeners I have. Like, my listeners blow the followers out of the water. I don't know what it is. I say it's because I'm not on it all the time. I literally post like twice a week and that's it. I treat it as a business instead of like an actual getting to know me type of thing. But that, again, like you said, that I grew up where you don't be a shooter. You're not a show off. Like, be happy for stuff you do. Yes. But you don't need to post every time you do something important because now it comes off as you're bragging.
Yeah. And then, like, you know, I don't know. People are posting. Okay, we have this thing about, like, excess. People spending excess amounts of money.
Sure.
For shit, like, baby reveals and stuff like that. Like, somebody hiring.
Don't even get me started on that. Yeah.
Hiring a plane to do a flyover.
Yeah.
You know, and meanwhile, like, some people can't fucking afford breast milk or, you know, baby formula or diaper. Yeah. Or stuff like that. Like, I don't know. There's just, it's interesting, too. My political views, the way that I see the world has completely changed in the last 10 years. Yeah. If you go back and talk to Ken Anderson when he was in TNA.
Right.
I'm almost like sometimes I want to call my friends and apologize to them. Hey, how the fuck did you deal with me, man? Like, I was always talking about politics, and I was always listening to these radio programs and I'm podcast and stuff like that. Sure. It's, you know, fuck.
Yeah, but you know what? Again, that's good because if you're not growing, I always say if you're not growing, you're dying. And if you're not better than your yester self, then what are we doing here? Like, we have to all keep on, like, growing.
That's very true.
Right? So it had to happen for a reason, and it's crazy. But speaking of posts, you posted a pic. Again, not bragging or anything, but you posted a pic with my favorite horror villain of all time, Freddy Krueger, my friend.
Yeah.
How was it meeting Robert Englund, and what was that actually for? Do you remember that?
It was a comic book convention, a comic horror video game convention over in England.
Oh, wow.
I think it was Manchester.
Okay.
So I was there for 2 days, and he happened to be, you know, at the booth next to me.
Wow.
And so the guy that I was there, my handler, went over and sweet-talked the guy making an exchange or something.
Sure.
I don't think he wanted a picture with Mr. Anderson, but...
Hey, what if he was a wrestling fan? You never know.
No, I don't. But he was super cool. Let me put him in a headlock.
Oh, nice.
Put me in a headlock. Something like that. So, yeah, he was super cool. That, I got to meet David Prowse also on that trip. Who, David Prowse was the man behind the mask for Darth Vader.
Like, oh, shit. The actual actor. Wow.
Yeah. I got to meet him. He's since passed, and Lance Henriksen was there. There was a couple other people that I got to meet that were, you know, it's cool. Like, I love doing those comic book conventions because, you know, I don't know. It's just so cool to see people from all walks of life, and we all kind of converge. You know, there's wrestling fans there. There's movie fans. There's a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I get to kind of be a kid and get paid to do it.
And I love it too, because I'm the exact same way. You know how many times people tell me, oh, you should just be a straight wrestling podcast. You should just concentrate on video games. You should just do MMA. And this, and I'm like, why? I like everything. And why would I turn down an opportunity to talk to someone like you said, that I grew up watching or that I'd like you got to meet Freddy Krueger. I got to meet the man that was Michael Myers, Tyler Mayne, that was in the actual the remake ones, and he's been on the show. And it's like I got to meet one of my horror villains, like, you know, like, obviously it wasn't him, but he got to play him. But when I was a child, fucking Michael Myers just scared the shit out of me.
Yeah. I know people always say, do this, you need to do that, you need to do this. I've always felt like you need to be true to who you are. And thank if you. You like whatever it is you like, you know, like my kid, my son is 10 years old, and he just asked to get these plushies.
Oh,
they were like, all right, you know, are you familiar with Five Nights at Freddy's?
Yes.
So Five Nights at Freddy's, and you want to get these plushies, whatever, they came in the mail the other day. And I remember thinking, like, when I was 10 years old, if one of my friends would have found out that I had gotten a stuffed animal, it would have been curtains, right? Like,
that's it.
I remember you couldn't even, we had to pretend that we didn't watch cartoons anymore when I was in third grade.
It's so true. Unless it was like the X-Men or Spider-Man or something. Then that was, and even then you're still considered a nerd because that's comic book, right?
You still watch cartoons. I know. Hey, Ken still watches cartoons. Well, then like you'd be picked on it's relentlessly. True. And I love the fact that we're going away from that.
That's true.
You can actually fucking like what you like.
Yes.
And I wanted to do a video. I have one of my students. He's a great wrestler, technically sound, can wrestle a normal match. He loves death matches. He loves hardcore.
Oh, shit.
And I say fucking do it, man. Like, I don't want to do them, but
hey,
people have been asking about the Darby Allin thing. Like, what do I think? I think...
the glass, yeah.
Great for him. Like, there are people that like certain things, and I don't know. If we were all the same, the world would be a really, really boring place, you know?
Yeah, and I say the same thing. If you don't like it, turn the channel. Like, there's so many outlets now. There's so many different things. And, again, I bring it up every show, and people are probably rolling their eyes because it's my constant thing. Like, it takes a very shitty person to sit there and watch something you don't like and then rag on that person. Wouldn't you just want to be happy and watch something you like?
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy. Just let people be themselves. And obviously, if it's on and people are enjoying it, that's why it's there. Like, there is an audience for everything.
Somebody just recently reached out to me, and they had done a piece on my match with Kurt Angle.
Oh, okay.
Inside the steel cage, like the build up to it, and
right.
And some of the things that they were saying about Kurt, and you know, the names that they were calling him were like, I messaged the guy, and I was like, look, man, I'm not mad about it, but this is a real human being who really had problems that he was going through. Right. Just dealt with those problems. Like, I think that's something that fans sometimes forget, that you might hate what you're seeing on TV, but chances are the person doing it also hates it, because at the end of the day, you're an employee of this company, and they tell you,
right,
that we need you to do this tonight, and it, you know, you got an option. Like, if you work at McDonald's and they tell you to go clean the toilets, you got an option. Like, yes or fuck off.
Yeah.
Somebody else will come in and clean the toilets, you know? It's kind of the same thing with wrestling, so.
And plus, it's subjective. If it wasn't subjective, I could understand. So how could you tell someone not to like something if it's good for someone else? Like, it blows my mind.
Yeah.
And then speaking of, again, being subjective, what do you think, again, about being a wrestler? I can't believe you never touched on this the last few times you've been on. What do you think about the dirt sheets and, like, PWI rankings and shit like that as a wrestler?
It used to really bother me. It really did.
Like, okay.
But again, it's completely subjective. But then again, like booking in wrestling is subjective too. Sure. Right? Like, you're at the mercy of, do the writers like this particular person at that particular time, you know? Or so it's just, I think it's just part of the business, and I think we all collectively love this business. So many people do. And not everybody can be a wrestler. Not everybody can be a commentator. Not everybody. So So I think that, you know, if you're contributing in some way, if you're a fan and you really want to contribute, you can. And I think that's kind of cool that we have that ability now, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I remember I used to really put a lot of stock in, right when I first got to WWE, the first couple of years I was there, I don't know how I got to this point, but, you know, I would do a house show with WWE.
Okay.
And car, and we'd be scrolling on our phones, looking up whatever Joe Blow
sure
had mailed in, you know, his match results to Dave Meltzer and giving his 2 cents. And a lot of times I'd be like, fuck that guy, you know, sure. Like, it would be not because of constructive criticism, but like of things that, like I just said, yes, I hate that too. I hate the fact that my character has to do this now. I think it's stupid as well, but right. I don't have a choice, you know? So, but I've kind of embraced the dirt sheets and stuff. It's just part of the business now.
Yeah. Well, that's exactly it. They're not going to go away. Right. So how can you still hate on them? No. And yeah, some shit will be real and some shit will be made up and whatnot. But again, isn't all news like that anyways?
Exactly. Yep.
Right. It's crazy because the one thing that always blows my mind is you went from having the best gimmick in 2005 to the worst gimmick in 2013. Like, you know what I mean? So you go from the high to the low. Like, and that's what I mean as a wrestler. Obviously, you don't take it into stock. Again, it's subjective and whatnot, but it's like, maybe I think it would probably be different if it was amongst the crew backstage and the boys and the girls. If they were to rate you like that, maybe right. Then you could take it to heart. You're like, oh shit, this is what they think about me. But again, half the time, these people who are these critics have never stepped foot in a ring, right?
Yep, never could. And that's okay.
Never could. That's a good one.
I think you can be critical of something, have an opinion, but like, I think you should like temper your criticism, you know, like,
or I think not because I do it, but I think the best way is to have a discussion versus like a full out rating system or nitpicking every hold and transition and the storytelling. Like I have my friends from the UK. They come on, we do like the big AEW and WWE every once in a while. And what we talk about, we don't go like every match. We just talk about what we liked. And then at the end, we'll throw in like, oh, we didn't like this and what so forth and so on, right? But it's not like we're saying, oh, we hate this person because we love wrestling. That's why we watch it, right?
Yep, exactly. And I think you got to remember that. At the end of the day, it's just wrestling. It's supposed to be fun.
Thank you. No doubt. Oh, that's crazy. Okay, one last thing before I let you go and you can promote some stuff. I got to know, my friend. To me, the hottest wrestler right now, if not top five for sure, is R-Truth. Do you have any stories of working with R-Truth, my friend?
I don't. We always really? Try to miss, we missed each other. So, like, I would see him when I was going down to do extra work for TNA.
Okay.
Way back in the day, like, when they...
Oh, when they first started.
Their Wednesday night pay-per-views.
Yes.
It was like $5 for a pay-per-view every Wednesday night, I think.
Exactly.
The Nashville Fairgrounds, and he was there as, you know, Ron Killings.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was also doing, I was kind of going back and forth. And then he got hired by WWE and he was K-Quick for a while.
Yes.
Remember, but never really had too much interaction with him. And then when I got hired by WWE, he was in TNA almost the entire time. And then, yeah.
You swapped again. Oh my God, that's right. Shit.
So, but always like we know each other.
Well, yeah.
You know, always a positive experience. Like he is like the sweetest guy, the coolest guy, most down to earth human being you'll ever meet. I don't think, you know, this very few people in the business, like somebody doesn't like you somewhere. Like somebody doesn't like me. There's probably a couple people that don't like me at all.
Okay. Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody ever say anything bad about Ron Killings.
Me neither. No. I'm the exact same thing. It's so true. Like, and again, I guess to have this longevity, you either have to be a really shitty person or a really good person, right? And you don't see the shittiness, obviously. Even on his characters, like what he does on screen, you see the love. You see how he loves to be in there and how he takes everything, like, even though he's a joker, he takes everything so seriously. And to me, that's fantastic shit, man.
Yeah. That's the best. Like the comedic person needs to play it straight, right? Like he. So I watched an interview with Jeff Daniels where he was talking about how he played the role of, was it Harry?
Oh, in Dumb and Dumber.
Dumb and Dumber. Yeah. He was like, I didn't play it all goofy because that's Jim's job. Mm. I played it like I was the serious guy, you know? And they're like, oh, it makes sense when you see it. But he's so funny and he keeps, I'm sure that he has a bunch of hands in creating that character. You know, he's always coming up with new ideas for that character. And the fact that it has gone on for as long as it has, and it's still rocking. And I don't know, did you see the bit where he showed up in Austria?
Love that. I literally laughed out loud.
The only thing is I wish that the company would have sprung and bought him a ticket. Mm. And actually had him go to Austria and show the signs in the background and stuff. And, you know, but it's my armchair quarterback stuff.
Well, it's true. Yeah, because he could have stretched and made a whole vignette and throughout like an old episode of Raw, just aired the vignettes of him walking around all lost, looking for people, right? That'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Ken, it's always a pleasure. It's always an honor talking to you, my friend. Can't wait to do it again soon. But promote whatever you want to put out there. I know we didn't really touch on the Academy, but you're still doing that. It's going strong. Yeah. So promote whatever you want. Socials, the Academy, floor is all yours, my friend.
Yeah, thank you. If anybody's interested in learning how to be a professional wrestler, learning how to fall down, I can teach you. We run classes Monday through Thursday every week here in the Twin Cities. You can check out my website. It's theacademysopw.com. Or you can text me directly at 507-722-2776. Like I said, that comes directly to my phone. You know, sometimes I'll have fans that just say, what's up? I don't know. I think it's cool to like give back. I still do when somebody sends me fan mail. I still make sure I, you know, sign it, nice. Send it out. So like I said, we've been training students now. We opened in 2016. We trained hundreds of different people. Some of our students are in the WWE right now. Some of them are NXT. You know, Tiffany Stratton is one of our students.
Oh, she's going to be huge. And not to cut you off, did you know back then when you first saw her, that's it, this is the next big thing?
No. I didn't. I knew that. Oh. I knew she had the potential, but she just didn't have the charisma. She was just
gotcha.
She was just – she literally, she didn't have any of that type of charisma when she was – she just got in the ring, did her thing.
And left. Okay.
And got out, and I was like, well, I don't think she really likes this or really wants to do this. And
okay,
she went to NXT. You know, when you get around that environment, around those people, the best in the world, it's like wrestling college.
Good point.
I definitely lit a fire. Same thing with Von Wagner. Like, he's going to be good.
Yep.
And then Darius and Dante Martin over on AEW. Julia Hart.
Oh, so, wow. Nice.
Yeah, and there are, I believe that there will be more on the way. They're just in training right now. It's really cool to see my students start to grasp concepts. And, you know, it's like a proud dad moment for me sometimes. So, like I said, you can text me. Please text me or check out our website. And then I'm on Instagram and the Twitter machine and Facebook, Mr. Ken Anderson on Twitter, Mr. Ken Anderson, Mr. spelled out M-I-S-T-E-R on Instagram.
There you go. And for myself, you can find me on Instagram and X under Finga Styles. You can follow the podcast on X, the podcast app. Email us your thoughts, suggestions, comments, anything you want to get off your chest at thepodcastapp@gmail.com. Please check out those fine sponsors because if it helps them out, most definitely helps me out. Most importantly, rate, subscribe, review on all the major platforms. And if this is the first time you listen to the podcast and you like what you heard, please go back and listen to other former TNA world champs like Nick Aldis, Jeff Jarrett, and Josh Alexander, to name just a few. All right, my friend, one last question before I let you go. If you could play as any video game character in a movie adaptation, who would you want to play as?
Oh,
You got to be a villain, right?
Got to be, right? Like, one of my favorites, I don't know, this would be, nobody would even know it was me, but like, okay. Oddworld, Abe from Oddworld.
Oh, there you go. That's a good shout out. Again, another game that I can't go back and play, the original one on the PlayStation at least.
It's actually pretty solid. They re-released both Abe's Odyssey and Abe's Exodus.
Oh.
And they're actually they're pretty solid.
Okay, maybe I should check it out. Okay, perfect.
Then they came out with a new game called Soulstorm, and okay. I'm into it.
Oh, there you go.
You know, like your introduction, I got to come up with like an introduction like that, or at least when I'm rattling off my social media and stuff like that, right? Like kind of remind me of the Micro Machine Man.
Well, that's the thing. And now it's, again, muscle memory. It's in my, even if I guessed on other people's shows, whatever, it just comes right off like the roll, like the tip of my tongue, right? It's perfect.
Yep.
Awesome. On that note, he's Ken. I'm Steve. This is the podcast. Peace.